These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Do this week.
I know.
I can't believe all this is happening. When are you getting married?
Friday, Halloween.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, because I was like, my in-laws are coming on Halloween because they're going to go trick-or-treating with almost at Lauren Thruby, who's very confused right now because we have a fucking Christmas tree in our living room. But she knows it's not really Christmas because we haven't decorated it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were like,
sorry.
Okay. So then, Lauren?
What?
I need you to start butt-chugging Pepsi. I swear to God.
I don't know why I've been super.
I know why, because you're getting married in a week, and so you're so your body's a little anxious.
Oh, maybe.
You have the wedding jitters.
I think it's because I had too much peanut oil yesterday.
Why were you eating peanut oil?
I wasn't eating it. I just put some in
noodles.
No. But sometimes it's really inflammatory. Sometimes it hits me the wrong way, and then I have diarrhea and get sick.
You're asking for inflammation.
I was butt chugging.
You know what? No. Like, why don't you are butt chugging peanut oil and you're eating nightshades all before your wedding day? You're gonna look like an Oompa Loompa. No, I shouldn't say that to somebody with an eating disorder. You're gonna look beautiful.
Well, Oompa Loompas, they're skinny.
I was going to say, it was like maybe
they're just short and orange.
I was going to say, my in-laws are going to, they were like, what if we watched Ruby like Saturday and you had a night off? And I was like, maybe we'll just like fly to Las Vegas and watch Lauren get married. But you'll already be married, so whatever. We won't do that.
Yeah. And we've got tickets to RuPaul's Drag Race live at the Flamingo that night.
So. Well, then I will go. And then Cam can go hang out with Jason and I'll go to that.
Oh, fun. You can meet us at the Museum of Pinball History.
Oh, I was going to say, but we could go to... Because
it's right by the chapel.
Vanderpump, whatever her fucking restaurant is out there.
Oh, yeah, that's probably open by now. It's always closed, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw her flowers at Kroger last week.
She has flowers now?
Vanderpump flowers.
That's
so
cool.
And they were cheap-ass daisies that were way too expensive, and they were dead as fuck.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that sounds like her.
Are you going to hold flowers?
Her wine sucks, too. Yeah, they've got flowers there as part of the package.
How much was that?
$199. What? It's cheap. We're still going to have a party. I mean, that'll be cheap, too. But all right, let's get into it. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And we are recapping Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Season 6, Episode 6, Out of Gas. Due to its wild unpopularity this season, which I think is unwarranted. I think it's like a season. We're not going to finish OC. We might recap the finale in 2 weeks. But we couldn't bring ourselves to do it.
Truly, it almost broke my marriage apart.
Okay. But Salt Lake City has really been firing on all cylinders. I really think, like, even though we haven't had, you know, the singular epic moments yet, which are yet to come, of like, you know, the season 4 finale or like, you know, the Sprinter van. I think this is the best, like, this is their best work.
There's been this season that's been like, oh, this is like a filler episode. The ones that are kind of like filler episodes are filled with wonderful moments. And we're moving the story along.
It's just such a good ensemble. With one exception, but we'll get it. But everyone else is delivering such exceptional work that it's a masterclass. It's a masterclass theater.
It's masterclass theater. My favorite PBS show.
Mm-hmm. That's also an online seminar. Okay, so first scene, we have Heather and Angie have a phone call with their morning coffee. And Heather, who I think had a great episode, is like Angie is drinking her is like black, and she has her little, you know, like pot of like soy milk or like foamed milk or whatever. And then Heather's spraying whipped cream on hers. And I was watching that as I was drinking my like whipped cream coffee, and I was like, she's back to being a relatable queen. And so they're recapping the party last episode, the bottle episode at Whitney's party, where Angie and Lisa were fighting while people went in and out for doomsday prophecies from the psychic Whitney hired.
The last, I'm telling you, I've said it once and I'll say it again, and I'll say it until the day I die. Nobody does a lunch like SLC.
It's true. Yeah, SLC, it's like they really like that natural light.
They like
it's
like
always daytime parties, lunch. It looks better. Mm-hmm. They don't have to, you know, it's less work for the crew.
It's less work for the crew. The one time they had a memorable dinner, they had to kick that woman off the show, Monica. They're like, thank you for the memorable dinner, but you can leave.
You can leave. And yeah, and probably because like it was, you know, one of the greatest scenes in history, but a bitch to light. And so they're like, nope. Daytime, because they're considerate, you know, queens. This is why the
everywhere.
Crew loves them. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they talk about that, and Angie said she's done with Lisa until she apologizes. She wants to move forward with her, but like Lisa has to listen and engage and admit fault. And Heather, to her credit, she had been like getting on our nerves a little bit this season, how up Lisa's ass she is, and we're like, oh, more of the same Heather Gay, like compulsively, you know, seeking approval.
I don't want to comment on women's bodies, but her cheekbones are giving Coraline's mom.
It seems like she does get something done between this episode and next episode from the previews. It's
like
quite,
but they're jutting this way.
But Demi had, whatever procedure it is, like Demi Moore had the same thing, and Courtney Cox, but it's,
in the substance?
They fill out into it. You know, it's, you just have to give it time.
You grow into the filler.
You grow into the, yeah, whatever, or like cheekbone implants. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I've seen that before and it ended up okay. But yeah, but Heather, what did you think of this, Michelle? Heather calling out, like, actually, you know what? Lisa isn't practically perfect in every way. You guys are the same. You're both being bad. And Lisa has been shitty to me, and I want to hold her accountable.
Yeah. I loved it.
Great, right?
Yeah.
It was what we wanted.
I
She's
know.
Listening.
And Angie's like,
yeah. So then, yeah, they also talk about how next episode they're going to go on a super yacht in Kanawan.
Have you ever heard of this place?
I have not.
Okay.
But I'm watching the current season of Below Deck Australia.
I had no idea where it was, which comes up in this episode, which is very funny. I had no idea where it was. I kept thinking they were saying Panama, and I was like, we go to Panama now, but we're not going to Panama. We're going to another place that I already forgot what it's called. Kanawha.
You know what it reminds me of? You know that episode of Veep where she's at the British pub, and she's like, the reporter's there, and she's trying to impress everyone. And so she's like, oh yeah, I'll drink this, chug this Guinness or whatever. They're like, down in one, but she thinks they're saying Danny Wah, and she keeps going Danny Wah, Danny Wah, and I'm like, that's where they're going, is
Danny
Wah. So then we have the Bronwyn and Todd daddy daughter ice cream date, where
my god, they just Bronwyn how clenched was your butthole?
I honestly think Todd is so cunty.
Such a cunty. God, he hates her.
Yeah. I mean, really, I really think, like, I'm like growing more and more down the rabbit hole with this theory that Muzzy and Todd are the same.
Okay.
Like, they have the same smile, which is they don't smile.
It's like, it's this level of like being sinister that like freaks me out.
Yes, this ominous disapproval that they both radiate.
Like, going on an ice cream date is, like, the most wholesome thing. Like, when's the last time you and Cam just, like, went and got ice cream?
Well, we didn't. But I remember as a child when I was in trouble that my like, or, you know, my mom was really mad at me that my dad would take me to get ice cream and be like, so, you know that.
Oh, I went and got ice cream. Like, really, you know, mad. I did, like, you know, when I was a little kid, like, you know, 9, 10, like, you got good grades on this report card. We'll take you to go get ice cream. Like, it was like a special treat.
A positive association.
Yeah. I would love to go on an ice cream date. We don't really do those anymore.
Yeah. It's ice cream's fun. So good.
Ice cream's yeah. so good. It looked good.
I have a $25 gift card to Yogurtland that's been sitting on my shelf for 3 years. Just never go.
I'm not going to eat yogurt.
But this was very the tone of, like, the disapproving daddy-daughter date.
She didn't do a good job, even though she's trying to impress daddy by saying, you'd be so proud of me, daddy. And he's like,
no. No. No, daughter.
No, I'm not impressed. In fact, I don't know why you're talking to me about your job. I don't know why you're talking to me about your job.
Yeah, it's just like
he's so like he's dude. So and gruffy. He's, is that a yes. word? He's just like always like so.
He's so gruff. Yeah,
he's so gruff. He's just like
and disgruntled.
I've never seen the man smile.
No.
I've never seen him look in love with his wife.
But don't you think that if Todd was to do drag, Todd, the world-class hedge fund consultant, don't you think that he would do his makeup like Muzzy's? Like, I don't, there's something there. Muzzy has that kind of
tootsie
look. Well, I
think he would hire someone to do his, okay, he wouldn't do okay. it himself. He'd hire well, yeah, somebody.
He got Mrs. Doubt fired it. By his, like, you know, gay brother Jack, who's a makeup artist, and he was like, I want you to make me look exactly like mother. Her mother Muzzy, like mother, and not only to, like, you know, just truly embody my cunty motherness and slay, but also so I can, you know, disprove of Bronwyn, like, in new dimensions. And,
yeah, at the ice cream shop, like, it's probably reminding her of, like, when she was a little girl and her mom would take her to get ice cream and be like, I'm actually not proud of you. You yep. thought this was going to be a fun treat, but watch this bitch. I'm going
to
just.
Yeah, it's like, I, you know that, like, I give you ice cream, not because I'm not proud of you, but I don't want you to start thinking ice cream is because you're so great, because mm-hmm. you're not so great. So
and I know you can't
that.
Afford it. I have to pay for it. Daddy has to pay for it. He so hates her. So they're talking about how
Bronwyn says, you'd be proud of me. Proud I stayed of out me. Of chaos. And she's like, and Angie even said also to Lisa, she said, I won't be bullied. Like mm-hmm. they were going at it and she said, I won't be bullied. So
and
I thought
I
that was interesting.
Above it.
And she's like, but, and then she looks at him, looks at his face motionless. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I know you don't care. And he goes, I don't.
And then he did, like, the most fucked up thing I think I've ever seen a house husband do. He took her cherry.
Like, 2 minutes after the she said, I said hate how you crazy. Always take my cherry. Yeah.
But she did. He did. He took her fucking cherry off her sundae, which I don't like the cherry on a sundae. A maraschino is pretty gross to me. But, like,
it's definitely not the best part.
I know, but it's the idea of it. It's like, you know, you always yes. be like, it's a cherry on top. And the fact that he always does it, and she doesn't seem to like that he does that.
It's really dark. It's very, to me.
I'm not proud of you. And then stealing her cherry is, like, sick. It's, like, Maleficent. He's a Disney villain.
To me, it's like, I knew, like, a guy like this who I worked for where it's like, no, this is actually mine. Like, if I ever want something,
I'm wielding,
like, because
power.
I'm paying you, so your money's yeah. my money. I'm taking it from you because you know it's mine.
Yeah.
So it's like, I should never even have to care about whether your wants or needs because all of this is mine.
It's mine.
I was like, that was actually dark-sided.
It was dark-sided. And I don't think that this man owns another sweater.
Well, because he's gotten way too into his Muzzy character and he's found all these different, like, Mormon, you know, long sleeve shirts and Mormon blue eyeshadows and all these, you know, old, you know, character actress wigs. And so it's like he doesn't have time to shop for himself. He's so into, just too deep into Muzzy.
And meanwhile, Bronwyn's over here looking like she just stole all the jewels from the Louvre. Topical.
She looked like,
she looked crazy.
Yeah, topical reference, but she looked like Gretchen in Gretchen's confessional.
No, she had the, like, weird, like, emerald.
Oh, she had like the jewel. Yeah, yeah, the jewelry. Although, you know what was a bigger flex than the jewelry? All the toppings they got. Toppings are the height of luxury. Like now they have, you know, frozen yogurt places where you can load up on toppings or whatever. But growing up, it's like, you know, it's like, what? Well, it's like steak on a burrito. It's like, what are you, rich?
I don't want all those toppings. I'm so plain. I want a scoop of ice cream. Has to be vanilla. I want so much hot fudge. I just want
A topping, though.
I want whipped cream.
That's also a topping.
And I will only entertain a nut if it's not a peanut. If it's a slivered almond, yes. Otherwise, ugh.
So that's
a
third
sprinkle. I don't want a sprinkle. I don't want a crushed up Oreo. I don't want whatever bullshit.
So you're not saying you don't want toppings. You're like, I like these many specific toppings.
I like specific toppings.
Yeah, that's like basically exactly what Bronwyn ordered.
Okay.
Is what you described.
Yeah. See, if I were her, I would just stop ordering it with the cherry and see what happens.
Well, why not get two cherries? One for him, one for you.
No, because I would be like, I didn't even get one, so you can't even take it from me this time. Get your own cherries.
Why don't she should just bring some in her bag, like hot sauce. Okay, so yeah, this was a dark. and then she says, she's like, we end the scene on him, on her still asking questions for his approval. He's not responding
to. Do you like me?
Do you think I was too quick to neutralize with Lisa? Can I get a high five because I did so good, Daddy?
And then he was like, I don't know why you talk to any of these women ever. And it's like, it's her job.
Yeah. And then it's like, baby, look pretty now, daddy. And then it's like, we cut to the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
animal crackers in my soup.
So then they're going to go in my animal crackers in my soup, man.
In my soup, man.
That's like a Real Housewives episode title.
Animal crackers in my soup, man.
Yeah. So then going to Canawan. Oh, yeah. So Lisa talks about how they're going to Canawan and how it's by the Galapagos Islands.
With her husband.
Telling John.
John. Okay. Like Todd and John are like competing for who's like the most like, yeah, they're opposite because Todd doesn't give a fuck and John only wants Lisa to give a fuck about him. And she's like, it's like he doesn't even need to be there. And she's just like.
Whatever. But he doesn't really like have to seek her approval because it's like
he
he's
just
like
wants her to look at him,
acknowledge him,
yeah, like acknowledge that he's in the same room. Because at least with Todd, he is acknowledging Bronwyn exists. He just doesn't care.
He just doesn't like what he sees.
He doesn't like what he sees. But John is like, I just want my wife to say hi to me.
Yeah.
Instead of just telling me bad geography and then saying, remember this trip when I brought 10 bikinis and that's all she'll say about a trip that they went on. Not like we had such a great time. Remember this dinner we had with the kids? Like it's like, remember my outfits?
Mm-hmm. Remember that we went on boats. It's real.
We went on boats. Yachts. We don't usually go for this many. We usually go for 7 to 10 days.
Right, right. It's like, yeah, we've seen Below Deck. We know that those are usually truncated, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that those, whatever. It's like, you know, she's so, it's just so, she's so Ramona to me. She is like a bizarro Ramona where it's like, she's really she tries so hard to come across as rich. And now it's like, you know, it was always funny, but now the ladies are like calling her out for it and she's still keeping doing it. It's like,
but she's doing it to her husband.
Even in scenes with John where he's like
she's like talking about how much money she has to her husband who does know, but she just like wants it on camera like we went on all these fabulous trips, but again always making it about herself and her bikinis and stuff. I did think it was very funny that the editors like the way they
showed
the little map.
Yeah, yeah.
I needed that map too. I didn't know where it was.
Same. I feel like I have like a little bit better of an idea now.
I don't like geography.
Me neither.
For me. Sorry.
But that's why it's helpful. It's like, even though it's like the most we see of a map is because of a joke on Real Housewives trying to dunk on Lisa.
Well,
are dunking on that woman this season.
They are dunking. And she's like, dismissed.
So then Lisa tells John, the psychic said we were having communication problems. And then John goes, interrupts and says,
bikinis.
Yeah, he said communication problems. Yeah, I think it's true. Yeah. And John is like, okay, maybe you could listen to me.
Let me have
more.
A sentence. Can you say hi to me?
And then it cuts to Lisa crying in a confessional, like, I told him I want to be treated like glass. I'm so like, sensitive. I'm delicate. I know I act so strong.
She's like the Rose in Beauty and the Beast, like in the little cloche. It's like,
yes.
It's just falling on my petals.
Her extensions are falling off like the petals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so hilarious. She's so Ramona. It's like she's in her
so
own
Ramona.
World, dude.
Yeah, she's so...
A once-in-a-lifetime star.
She is. And I know that she's getting dunked on. And you know what? I think she'll come out resilient. I think all of the greats, like, I feel like to be one of the greats, you have to have at least a season where everyone's, like, calling you on your shit. And it's how you handle it. And she's handling it just like she's handled every other season, which is not really acknowledging it and just continuing to talk about herself. And I like that.
Yeah. Like, because in fairness, it's like she also can't. Do that. She's not capable, you know? But it's very like she's gonna learn the Ramona way, which is just apologize really quick. Ramona apologize.
I'm sorry.
And then never, no one is ever allowed to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. It's like she just needs to do it that way. You know, and she'll still be like Ramona, she'll still be sliding out of booths trying to get out of apologizing. Mm-hmm. But really, I kind of like the gang up on Lisa just because it's like it's breaking so many bad habits for the show.
Yeah.
It's breaking the habits of just throwing random shit that they dig on each other out, and we never get follow up. We never understand what the fuck they're talking about. It's funny, but it's like, you know, we're wasting good material here. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got questions. You know, we never got to find out about Jin, Shaw, and Meredith fucking the same guy. You know, but now we've gotten answers for every single allegation. We learned what Lisa was trying to say about the credit card and the bar vacation. There are like actually like just not just holding her accountable. They're trying to figure out what the fuck she's talking about.
Right.
You know, and it's so helpful. And it also is like, hey, no kings. No kings in Salt Lake. We're no longer will we try to like walk on eggshells for like whoever we think is the most important cast member.
It's
like we're an ensemble.
I think of like, you know what? They're very like old school Roni that way. Like it really is an ensemble. Like even when we had like the, you know, like Bethany's the star season because she was like moving shit along. Like it really was everyone. It really was Ramona, Dorinda, Luann, like Sonia. Like they all were contributing all of the time. That's really how Salt Lake City is.
Yeah. And we'll get into it more, but I think a lot of this is Heather. And I really got to hand it to her. But first we have the piece de resistance, the scene of the episode, which is why it inspired the title. So we have this, the way that this unfolded was so beautifully this season where it's like, oh, you're like, oh my gosh, there's actual vulnerability. This is something so real. And you're like trying to understand, you feel like you see more of these women's psyches, and then you're like, oh my God, this is so fucking stupid.
I loved it. Give me more. Inject it in my veins.
So Mary comes to Angie's because they got in a fight in the last episode when Angie kept talking over her at the party.
Yeah, just like I did with Lauren. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Mary took it very personally, and I it seemed like it was like Michelle taking something really innocuous personally and like way too far, but she comes in pissed. She
that
comes in hot.
Sound familiar.
She's like, oh, thanks. Like, so Angie answers the door and Mary goes, thanks for getting the door. I usually let myself in. And then she's being a real Todd Muzzy right now. And then Angie's like, oh, I got you the drink you like, but it has sugar in it. And Mary goes, no. No, how much? That's like 6 days of sugar. Don't even drink that yourself, even. She's being so, like, not even, like, passive-aggressive, like, aggressively passive-aggressive.
It's so funny to me. I know you're, I think she's really funny.
Oh, she's been, I told you, it's like she's been so checked in. Like, it's like she and Meredith have, like, switched. It was like a spectrum. Yeah, they've totally switched. Like, so then they sit down and, Angie's like, look, I know that you're like disappointed in me. It's just like, it's hard for me to bully, like let someone bully me and not respond like a bully on the playground. And then Mary interrupts and goes that you're becoming. I was like, she's so like, up, like quick. Yeah.
Yeah. And Angie's and like, then, whoa. You know, Angie's usually got to be like, I gotta have all these lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like she's kind of reading her, and then Angie's like, "Oh yeah," and then Mary's like, "You're getting so caught up that like I don't even exist. I'm supposed to be your sister." And Angie's like, "You are. I am your sister." And Mary goes, "No, you're not. The one part from the trailer. No, you're not. Find another one." Like she's mad, and it's like happen. It's so rapid fire, like the way that they're going back and forth. And she's like, she explains, we're like, "Wow, this is like she's so mad about this, like." One fight, this is crazy. And I was like, oh, maybe it's like that, you know, it's for most people, the people on the show are just their coworkers, and then like they're kind of friends and stuff. But with Mary, it's like she probably doesn't have other friends, and then like she had just lost her mom, and she talks about how the temper is a trigger for her and stuff. And I was like, and like we're really starting to learn more about Mary, like we have all season. And then it cuts back to Mary, and she goes, "You've just been so mean lately. Like you made fun of my fart." And then we realized this is what it's really about. Mary is mad because Angie made fun of her farts, and we get the flashback sequence.
There's something about Mary.
And it's her poots. And she used to have such a sense of humor about them. In season two, she was giggling at Meredith's house about how she pooted.
I loved this. I really loved this.
It's so serious, and it's like it's really.
And they had the flashback. They had the editor. We watched it where Angie is like. Making fun of Mary's fart. She's like, you need to be on that side of the house with your farts like this. Oh my God. And then
and it's really like Angie.
It was your dog that was farting. It wasn't me. It was your dog. Your dog smells. You need to get that dog checked out. That's not normal, Angie. It's not normal for a dog to smell that way.
Well, okay. First, let's talk about the flashback part where it's like, it's a joke. It seems like Mary is making a joke about her own farts where she's like, oh, maybe I should like stand far away because like I farted earlier. And then Angie just makes the same joke a bunch of times. Like, oh, yeah, Mary should sit over there because of her farts. But Mary is taking it very seriously. Like Angie literally doesn't want to sit with her and literally wants to banish her to one side of the room just because Angie keeps making the same dumb joke that she thought Mary liked.
And then
Mary like really lights into her and is like, the dog farted, you blamed it on me, you should know the difference between my fart and a dog's fart. You don't even know. I would know your fart from a dog's fart. I was offended.
I understood what Mary was saying. Like, you know what my farts smell like. They're bad.
I don't know what your farts smell like. I mean, dog farts smell
when
like
we were
dog
in Miami,
farts.
I accidentally.
Oh, but that was like a freak one. I don't think your farts are usually like atomic like that.
If I fart, it's like that.
Really?
One time, like when I was in public and I farted like that. And then I was walking by some guy and he's like, oh my God. He's like, somebody's really sick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine are either bad like that bad or they are loud.
Yeah. I just feel like yours are probably, well, I just feel like you burp your farts.
I do. That's how I release most of my air for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't be pissed off if, you know, the dog burped and you blamed it on me. I'd be like, that's fair. But it does seem, it really seems like some kind of, I don't know if she had like a sibling. Who, there's some kind of fart related trauma in Mary's past. Smells.
Mary,
smell. She smells sensitive.
With smells with yeah. Mary. You know, yeah. like she is very locked into smells. If it's hospital mm-hmm. smells, if it's fart smells, I think I'm missing another smell that she has mentioned. But there's some other smell that she has mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. She's has very refined senses. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. she's very, and when people don't have that same consideration,
she doesn't like it.
She doesn't or assume that she would cultivate, you know, a less
How
than stellar fart or
Angie,
smell or
your,
taste.
Take your dog to the vet, you bitch. But then they made up and they were sisters.
And then really after Mary gets that off her chest, she's like, doesn't care anymore.
And it's Angie trying so hard not to laugh.
Yes.
Angie's
I mean,
like, wait, what? Like, this is crazy. And Angie's just trying to be like, okay, we're sisters okay, and I'm sorry yeah. and I understand.
And it is sweet that Mary's like, and I do think she means it when she's like, this comes every like 20 years in my life, making a friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is why she's so offended by farts, because like, she doesn't have people to laugh and joke with.
Her
like,
mannequins
she doesn't...
don't ever say anything about her farts.
Oh yeah. And her service staff, I don't think that they rib her.
And I
so
think
it's like
she like lives with her husband. I don't know where Robert Sr. is.
Yeah, me neither. I think they live like separately, but I don't they think he was no ever like, oh, you silly with your little toots. Like they never like had lighthearted roast jokes. So she doesn't know what that means.
She doesn't know.
She thinks yeah, that it's real. She thinks Angie was literally saying, you're disgusting. You sit on the other side of the room with your farting ass. And she was like, why would she speak to me this way? She's like, she literally thinks that
Angie. Oh my heavens.
She's like, she thinks that Angie actually was like, that wasn't my dog farting. That was your disgusting ass farting. My dog would never fart. You're disgusting. And of course, she's very hurt. That's hurtful.
And the dog's in the room, that little poodle.
Mm-hmm. Big poodle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they groom that poodle because they're hairdressers.
Oh, themselves? Well, I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know if they were allowed to before Angie got her license reinstated.
Right. Her pet cosmetology license. Heather, beside Heather with her little curlers in her hair, there was like a little dog. She was renewing both. Mm-hmm. Okay. So great. One of the great scenes. So then Heather and Lisa are at a boutique shopping for boat clothes. Mm-hmm. And just when you think you're tired of boutique scenes, these girls do it a little differently. First of all, each part of the fight that's about to happen happens in a different aisle for yeah. variety for like, and you know, this is Heather, like taking. So to like set up different shots. Mm-hmm. And then the big culmination is like, they're somehow in line at the counter with no one else there checking out. It gave me Vanderpump Rules early seasons when they'd be like waiting on a customer at the bar while fighting. Yeah. Like it's like, you know, it's kind of fake and they rented the space out, but the picture it gives us is it's so fabulous. Anyway, so this is, Heather and Lisa are talking about the big boat trip. And then, Heather's like, so, and they're also recapping the fight.
Right.
And Heather and Angie's conversation earlier this episode. So they're talking about going on the yacht, and Lisa's like, oh yeah, and Angie loved being on a yacht. She's probably never even seen a boat before. And it's like, you don't even have, like, that's the thing. It's like, she's so Ramona where it's like, you don't have to say that part. You've implied it. So many, you've already said the whole episode that, you know, you showed pictures of you on a boat at your lunch. Yeah. You don't have to be like, I was on boats. She wasn't.
She was never on a boat. Maybe our fisherman's boat.
So she's just so like relentless.
Yeah.
You know?
She's like, I will just like see if anything sticks at this point.
Oh, exactly. And yeah, Heather,
like,
really.
Whatever I can think that could possibly be insulting to Angie, I'll just see if it works on other castmates.
Exactly. Heather really names it and claims it this episode. Mm-hmm. Because I was kind of like, when Angie said in the beginning of the season that Lisa is someone who like, digs a bunch of stuff up, throws it out to deflect from her own stuff. I was like, does she really do that? I'm like, I don't think she's that calculated. But the ladies have really showed us mm-hmm. that that is what happens. And it's kind of what they all do, but it's why their fights get so insane madness mm-hmm. when they're not even like, you know, Roni level alcoholics. Mm-hmm. So Heather really keeps the boat on course mm-hmm. this scene. So when she, after Lisa says that, Heather calls it out, stands the fuck up for once, and is like, look, I'm not gonna haze Angie like you. And then she's like, you two haze each other. Even though it's because it's like, you're both bad, you're both bad, you're both bad. Even though it's like, how could Angie haze Angie's the newer whatever. But she gets stronger. And Lisa's like, I'm so sick of her attacks. Like, Heather's like, but she was like crying to me earlier. Yeah. I don't think she's like planning the next attack. And Lisa's like, oh, crying about what? She's a mean bitch. And Heather's like, look, if she's Heather really stands up here. She's like, if she's a mean bitch, you're a mean bitch.
Yeah. And those are the same.
Lisa was not Heather's work that she, this whole season, she's been all the way up Lisa's ass, lulled her into a sense of complacency. And then once she had the whole cast backing her up, being like, Lisa and, you know, Angie, you're the same, you're both bad. She really hammers it home. I'm just so proud of the Gaymeister, dude.
She's very good at this.
She's so good. She really is like, you know, doing what we all said and
she's
like
got
standing
the receipts, the fuck up. Timeline.
Yes. Everything. Yes.
She's standing on business, in the words of Justin Bieber.
And losing Lisa's friendship probably in the process, but she's like, who cares? Lisa, she doesn't have any allies besides me. So it's like, I don't have to be second fiddle bitch to her.
Where's she going? She'll be back.
Heather really flips the script here. Lisa is still like trying to, you know, make Heather back down. She's like, well, she started it. Like, I'm sick of her nasty digs. And Heather's
that was so funny. Like, she started it. It's like, you're 50.
Yeah. Who gives it? But they both really believe, because it's like Gretchen and Tamara. It's like, because mm-hmm. each one thinks the other person started it, they're like, that's all that matters. I'm allowed to be reactive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm allowed to do whatever I want because they started it.
Right.
And Lisa, like, cannot understand that Heather, that does not make sense to Heather or anyone mm-hmm. as logic. She's like, how can you guys not see? I'm like glass. And so then, yeah, Heather's like, you did that. You throw digs. Like, you, the soup man.
Yeah.
And here it was confirmed. We do get confirmation that it's the suit man.
Yeah, because even Lisa was like, soup.
It's like, wait, you said it.
Yeah. And Heather's like, yeah, the Superman, you were talking about the Superman. She's like, yeah, I said it, soup. But even when she repeated it, it sounded exactly like soup.
Yeah,
but it's still in my heart, in my head, in my soul, soup, it's soup, because I'll always remember Angie saying, I don't even eat soup. I don't eat soup.
Who doesn't eat soup?
I love soup, but that was a very funny thing. Like when she thought that Lisa mm-hmm. had said that she had been fucking the soup man or whatever.
Well, you know the soup man.
I don't even eat soup. I don't even eat soup.
Do you know the deal on him, the soup man? So Meredith was on, I think what's the Brianna Chicken Fry podcast?
Plan Brie.
I think she was on that one, and
that's funny.
They brought, or maybe it was the girl who left, Call Her Daddy and like started her, like, you know, the unsuccessful one.
Sophia.
It was like, it might have been Sophia with an F. Yeah. And Meredith talked about, or Meredith was on there. And then Sophia with an F was like, oh, Angie used to hook up with my ex, the suit man. So that's what she was talking about. And they're all kind of protecting Angie and being like, what? Yeah.
But
I think even...
This is so funny, though. SLC, they all have these weird dudes that they're apparently all fucking.
Yeah, and it's like, are they all just
like,
an open marriage?
Lisa's got this guy, you know, like, somebody's dick sucked for jazz tickets, and Meredith fucked half of New York and has a family that poses, and Angie's got a soup man. Like, Heather's the only one that's not getting dicked down. Yeah. And we've and kind of
she's Heather Gay. Mm-hmm. We hope. I would love, that's like the one thing. This she's had such a good season. Now, like seeing her work in hindsight, like the big, she's so good at the twists, and that would really put her over the top if she had a lesbian love affair with one of the other housewives.
She's like, actually, I wasn't sucking a guy's dick for jazz tickets. I was eating out a girl.
Mm. Oh, for jazz tickets. But that was Lisa.
Well, I don't care. I would still like to know if whatever. I want to know.
You want, you want the Barbie scissor kicks to be real. With mm-hmm. Jen Shaw. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, and Lisa points this out. She's like, Angie, you know, what about, she said Barbie scissor kicks about you. She's making all this stuff up about me. Yeah. And then, and Heather's like, look, you can't just like diss her. You can't just like expect me to be like, yes, uh-huh, because that's like what people keep getting mad at me on the internet for. Right. I can't just be up your ass. I have to like,
Call you out on shit.
I've got to call you out. Lisa,
we actually have to call you out this season, Lisa. Sorry. It's like literally our job and you have to be called out on shit. And also
and for the good of the show, not even for the
buy
plot.
Anything at this boutique.
Yes. And it's like, they're not even like really holding, like they're just so,
they're
it was
really
so...
even holding her feet to the fire either. They're just like saying things that are public knowledge. And Lisa's
they're saying like, well, Angie, Angie does it. You do it too.
Yeah.
And that's like, she's like, she's so thin skinned. She's like having a meltdown because she's like, oh my gosh, I thought that at least I had like Meredith. I had half the cast. I had
like,
Meredith
because
as my
I
lap
was like
dog.
An OG. Yeah.
She's like, I had Meredith as my lap dog. I have Brittany as my lap dog. And I thought I had Heather as my lap dog. And she's like, I'm losing Heather as my lap dog. It's like, she's like, oh, it's becoming like every, I'm forced into a corner to apologize, and she's like, but I don't want to, but
I
really
don't
it's like,
do it.
I love her take down,
I don't
though,
like Angie, she's never been on a boat.
It's really for the good
I,
of
I
the
live
show
a very different life. I live a very different life than everyone else here.
It's
I've been
boats
on boats
and Blake and Ben.
I have 10 bikinis I wore.
Yeah, it's, everyone's coming at me nonstop. It's like, are they real? I mean, I guess they kind of are, but like, I usually am not huge on into the pileups, but like this, it's like, it's really just being like, Lisa, it's going to be like, Lisa, it's really more like, if you throw out an accusation, let's make that a whole storyline, Lisa.
Yeah.
Don't just throw them a million out and then like, they're just gone and that can never be a storyline. It's like, we're, you know, like burning oil here.
Right.
Like,
peanut oil.
Yes, we gotta like, you know, savor each plot line, you know, instead of just like Suit Man, that could have been a season, you know.
Oh my God.
But
that would be
on
like five
Frilly Hills,
seasons.
That would be
that
five
would be,
seasons.
We'd still be talking about it.
Yeah, it's they're almost like more. It's more for her. It's almost like giving her housewives lessons. It's like work smarter, not harder. You don't have to be digging up all this shit. You can really just find the one thing and milk the fuck out of
but
it.
But I did like that. I'm glad she said the Soup Man.
Oh, yeah. 100. Well,
thank
it's
God
hilarious.
For that.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that Heather is doing the grunt work of getting answers about
getting
these
answers,
iconic.
Like, what is the soup? Who
like,
is
what
the
is
soup
the soup? Who's the soup man?
Mm-hmm. Talk Soup on E. We miss that show. That's the Soup Man to me. Joel McHale.
Talk Soup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this is why you need to watch House of Villains, Michelle. It's like Talk Soup, but a reality show. Like a competition show.
It's not the same.
Oh, New York is... Yeah, it's not the same because New York is in it, so it's even better.
I love New York.
I know. We're going to watch next season.
I New York.
I'm going to make you. We're going
to
cover it.
Okay, but now we have to talk about my favorite girl on the show.
So Brittany. This is so sad
Dish.
And funny.
That's our segment whenever we talk about her. It's Brittany Bitch.
It's Brittany Bitch. So this was a very much mirrored
a mother
the,
daughter.
Another
mother
daughter
reunion.
It's this episode was all about cunty mothers and their daughters being just being like disconnected and alienated. Brittany, she got some kind of like, Jared gave her some kind of like vocabulary calendar because the words she's saying, like in her talking head, she's like, my reading with Terrence, the psychic, was prophetic. I need to take a step back and focus on my daughter. I what he said was right. It's like, that's what literally everyone has been telling you on camera and off for years. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
Probably producers are like, you need to fix this with your daughter.
Like, you're like, girl, Jared seriously. Sucks. Like, they're like, you have to just because, like, you're going to get bullied. Like, someone's going to, like, leave a bomb in your car if you don't, like, at least pretend to be
a mom. I know.
A mom.
And then she's, like, doing confessionals. She's like, I don't know. I feel like I've heard this somewhere, but I don't know where.
I don't know where. It's so familiar.
It's prophetic, though.
So then she tells this, like, such a mom. This is the only way you would even know she's a mom from her behavior. Her story is so momish, where she's like, remember when you were little and you couldn't have coffee, but you always wanted coffee, so I get you a steamer. You know, Terrence, a steamer. Liv, a steamer.
Olivia.
I got you a steamer. And Olivia, and you'd bang on the floor and you said, I want coffee. And I was like, I'm not a bad mom. It's just a steamer.
We're Mormon. You don't drink coffee.
And Liv just, like, looks at her for a long time. She goes, okay.
She's like, well, I really need you to be better in life because it's ruining our relationship.
That's funny. So yeah, Liv explains and they're talking.
I don't think we've seen her daughters before, have we?
We had not. It seems like there's an incident that's alluded to later in this scene that I guess it seems like she was going to film with her, and like she picked her or like was coming to pick her up, and then the daughter saw that Jared had come over.
Yeah.
And was on the porch with her, and they were making out, and the daughter was like,
you know what?
I'm gonna call production, and not today.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Good. I mean, you know, making out.
Those crazy kids can't keep their hands off each other.
Those crazy kids. Speaking of crazy kids, I don't like when my kids get mad at me for it.
So yeah, she Brittany still really doesn't get it. Which we find out it's surprising.
Used to be an amazing mother, and we hear like Olivia talk about like she was like at every, you know, she was like the room mom and at school, like she was like the mom and that everybody loved. She was at every
dance recital,
like helping with the homework, like cooking, like all of the things. Her marriage doesn't work out. It's hard, but she's still a good mom. But then Jared comes into the picture and she's like,
no, it's not Jared. It's not Jared. She was remarried to someone else.
Oh, he fucked her up.
It was her second husband, who I think was also a Mormon guy. They talk about this more, the Mormon aspects more in the prior season. It could have been just Heather promoting her book. But right. She's like, in Mormonism, it's like, first you take care of the husband and then you take care of the children. And Brittany explains that was very much her mentality, that she was just trying to please this guy. Her daughters are like, you know, 12. And then suddenly they just never see her anymore. She's completely absent because she's, you know, just doing whatever her husband, being a good, you know, servant to him.
Singing him songs.
Yes. He was very demanding. He was like, I need you to sing me Chapel Roan and show tunes all day long. You cannot go to the parent-teacher conference. You must sing me Little Mermaid. So yeah, she was, and that's actually Liv is like, she had to beg for her attention. She was like, a switch flipped where it was like, she was there and then she just ignored us. So we moved in with our dad because we could not get her to pay attention or like even be around. And then Brittany's like, look, with her classic, like Brittany, you know, Daffy smile, just grinning this whole talk with her daughter. It's like, I put men over y'all for so long because, well, y'all weren't around, but I'm trying to get to know you. And Liv's like, no, I'm the kid.
There's the men around.
It's like, I was 12. I was at my house.
Yeah,
like,
you're still my legal guardian.
She's like, what
there.
Kid?
You weren't what there for me the way that you're supposed to be there for your mom.
Yeah. I felt like you were a deadbeat daughter.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
It was a latchkey mom.
It's a little triggering for me.
and like the daughter's like really
baby
patiently.
Baby, want to connect us?
She's like patiently trying to explain. She's like, you know, like what kid is like, I actually don't want my mom to raise me. I really want to talk to my dad about periods. Like, I think that'd be really great.
Yeah. And Brittany's just like,
Brittany, she pretends to start crying, but there's no tears. Mm-mm. And she's also still smiling and she's going.
Yeah. She's like, I didn't want dad to have to tell me how to use a tampon. That's what you should have done. My mom. And Brittany's like, oh, I can she's still like, show you.
Do you want to go right now? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. And then Liv's like, if I like try to like understand you, I try to put myself in your shoes. Yeah. And I would she's like crying. She's like, I just would never do that to my children. Why did you? And Brittany is like pretending to cry more. And she goes, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Oh, like somebody just like asked her like, you know, like what's your favorite color or favorite movie?
I'm not sure. Oh, one's ever asked me this before. Why I abandoned my children. I'm not sure.
So then Liv finally starts to kind of get through to her. She's like, I think you need to know why you still would rather like, you can't even like break up with Jared for a week to hang out with me.
Because they're
like,
still back and like, forth or whatever. She's like, we're friends.
Like, what's going we're on there? And it's just, it is just so refreshing, though, because it's like, compare this to Julia from Miami's scene with her daughter where she doesn't know her school. Or like Tamara, her talking about Sophia. You know, it's all about like, I'm such a great mom. I tried and tried. Like, da 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 da. And Brittany, she doesn't even know she's supposed to pretend that. Mm-hmm. She's just
she's not defending any of it. She's like, oh, this is all news to me.
Yeah, she really is like, even though she's on another planet, it's planet vulnerable.
Yeah, and she's like, this is all interesting. So
she's
you're
like,
saying
I never even saw this from
you
your perspective.
Wanted to be around, but I abandon you. Okay,
I
never
so
thought of it
was
from a child's
opposite.
Perspective.
How crazy. Just why? So then, Brittany, she's actually crying, still smiling, but crying this time. And she's like, Liv is like, I need
she's
to
like
why did you do
she's
it?
She's a pageant girl.
She's so pageant. And Brittany's like, of course it's not you, my precious baby. Like now, Brittany is like, she is always performing. She's a consummate actress, and she needs to know what scene she's in, or she gets very confused. And I think that's just the whole thing with her daughter. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh. When she is with a guy, she's like, my life is a rom-com. So it's like, I only talk on the phone, you know, we don't see the kids that much because it's like, you don't want them to ruin the rom-com or like the sitcom. You don't want the kids around. It's all about like me and my Daffy hijinks with my darling Mormon lover. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, then now she's talking to Liv and she's like, still smiling. She's like, but it's still a rom-com. And then Liv, like, kind of like, she live crying,
no,
live being
reality.
So intense. She's like, oh no, this is a soap opera. And Brittany's like, I got it. This is like a Lifetime movie. This is a Lifetime movie. I'm in it. And she's like, of course it's not you, my precious baby. And then Liv's like, you know, like you don't know anything about me.
Yeah.
And Brittany's like,
I want to. Know. Yeah. You're just never around. You won't talk
to me. You're just
never
around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you've told me why.
I really think that is Brittany's diagnosis, I think, is like main character energy. Mm-hmm. But in a way, it's not permeable.
She doesn't know what she's in, though, right? Like, she has
no idea
what's being filmed.
exactly.
I don't know what movie we're filming right now, but I know I'm the main character.
Yes.
I'm
like
the leading lady.
Her mind is playing the soundtrack, so it's like she's only really getting 10% of any of the information of reality she's in. So then it takes her a long time. Finally, she gets it, and then she's like, okay, all right, got it.
Now I should cry.
Yeah.
Or now I should stroke a cactus.
Like
a leading lady does.
But then it's like, you know that Jared, like, unless production sets up the schedule and is like, look, these are your scenes with your daughter you're doing this month. Like, if you get in touch with Jared, we're going to tell her during those scenes. Like, she's just going to bail on her daughter again. Like, it has to be, like, part of her job, I feel like, to see her daughter. Because once she sees Jared again, she's going to think she's in the rom-com again and totally forget this whole conversation. Her reality, everything before, she only exists in this moment in this film.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay, so then final scene, Heather and Meredith are in their fur coats on their little coffee walk. Meredith is she dips her toe into the Shannon Bedore waters and tells about how I chipped a tooth earlier and I kicked the shower and I purpled my toe and rah, rah, rah. It's like, let us see the chipped tooth and the purple toe.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Otherwise, you're not Sonia, you're not Shannon.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, unless you are hinting that you did it because you were fucked up out of your mind on benzos, I don't, it's not funny.
Or you said that you broke your tooth so you could get opiates.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you shook your prescription bottle, I'd be like, sure. If you show us, like Sonia, when her flipper comes out,
yeah,
then that's good. Otherwise, if it happened off camera, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. If like Angie knocked out one of your teeth, that
I have something. To have that on camera.
That yeah, exactly. But like Meredith solo stuff, I don't give
stuff.
A fuck.
I don't want to see your solo stuff.
Mm-mm. Or hear about it. Yikes. Mm-mm.
I want to see with the girls.
Yeah. So Heather gets right down to business with Meredith. She's like, okay, Meredith, this is an intervention. It's time for you to do your job.
Yeah.
I did my job yesterday. I now was talking to Lisa.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Gotta drag you out of the bathtub.
Yeah.
You have to do work.
Yeah, I don't care how many of your teeth fall out. It's time. She's like, why did you let Lisa off the hook at Whitney's party? Like, you know, she absolutely did do what Angie came to you on camera and accused her of. She said that while you and Lisa were fine, that Lisa messaged her and was like, hey, this is the stuff you can look up on Meredith's family. It's a bankruptcy, a shoplifting, a couple of other things so that you'll have ammo to throw back in her face during this fight. And it was when you guys were okay. Mm-hmm. And Meredith's like, and also Heather's like, and why are you even okay? Like, you know, she does this stuff. She yelled it all on the mic. Like, you know, it's like, you know, for a fact, this is true. So why did you wimp out? Mm-hmm. Meredith's like, well, she profusely apologized for years, so we're fine. And Heather's like, well, she was caught. She got caught on camera.
Yeah.
Like, and then she was caught again, and we all had her back against the wall, and you fucking pussied out, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking choked.
She's like, I'm tired.
And she's like, look, you know what my favorite expression that I always say and made up is? If someone shows you who you are, who they are, deal with them accordingly.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
What?
No, it's Maya Angelou. It's like, if someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to coin it and make it
worse. She's like, I'm basically a poet laureate.
I know why the cage Meredith sings.
Mm-hmm.
Because she broke her toe and her tooth. Yeah. And then Meredith's like, but what if she didn't do it?
Right.
And Heather's like,
but
she did it. Meredith, you know she did it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's done it to everyone at different times. Like, I believe Angie. I believe women. Do you not believe women?
Meredith? Yeah. Meredith is just like, I don't want to have to be friends with Angie.
Yeah,
she's and like, I know who Lisa is. I don't know who Angie is.
See, like, I do like that Meredith kind of admits here that, like, I would rather keep my alliance with Lisa because I don't trust to ever have an alliance with Angie, and we were just battling. I'm still pissed and stuff. She's like, but I know Lisa won't come at me with anything. Like, we have like a ceasefire, you know? So it's like, she's kind of being honest about that, but also it's like, she's just so blasé about it. She's so like, oh, you know, like, she's so like, well, what about Angie said the Barbie scissor kicks thing?
Yeah.
And then it's like she doesn't really, she can't work up a sweat. She can't get her heart rate up. She's
just
a limp bitch.
Yeah, I know. But I know that she'll be back.
She will. Okay. But it's like, it just been me, because Heather really, Heather was my center snowflake this episode. I mean, she was just really hitting it out of the park, and she's really trying to raise the stakes with Meredith. She's like, what if she digs up more dirt on us? We've got to nip this in the bud. Mm-hmm. And Meredith's like,
can we do it this afternoon?
Yeah. No, she just won't. She's just like, no, I'm not going to. Like, you can keep bugging me for it. It won't be compelling TV because I'm going to give you nothing in the scene. And that's that. I only care about protecting my family. So bye.
Bye.
Come on.
Protect the kids. That's
fine. Yeah. Because she's a gay ally. Mm-hmm. And then Heather's like, well, will you at least like help us like make Lisa say sorry for a few things? Will you help us with that part? And Meredith's like, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I'm DJing. I'm having a caviar bar. Whatever.
I'm talking with Brianna Chicken Fry. Mrs. Chicken
You know what?
Fry.
Lisa was right about her. Yeah. All she cares about is her family that poses.
Poses, yeah. And she probably is going to go fuck off of New York right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we
and
said
that's
it.
Okay.
That's okay. But I would rather her be fucking people in Salt Lake City so we can see it on the show. I mean, she needs to be friend of. She has, they have to bring her down to friend of.
They have to.
They this gotta wake her up, dude. This is like
she's
every.
She's so sleepy. She's so sleepy, lower, Joe.
Yeah, she's so sleepy, Joe, dude. I mean, she cannot run again. Disastrous.
We gotta get her off of that dais.
Yeah.
It's a little Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, it's getting to a Weekend at Bernie's place, I agree. And she's not funny.
No,
like,
she's
funny when she's drunk. Like, she's given some iconic, funny, drunk moments, but it's clear she doesn't want to do that this
season.
She
just can't be bothered for anything. It's like, even the season where, like, everyone's on the Sprinter van when the feds show up, she's, like, in a bathtub somewhere else.
But that was actually iconic.
I didn't hear the news.
That was actually, but, like, that was her giving while not giving. That was, like, go on, girl, give us nothing, like, actually go on, girl, give us nothing.
But at this point, it's like, she's got to do stuff.
It's like, well, even the bath, it was like, that was like laughing and celebrating Jen's demise while everyone on the Sprinter van was like, we're so worried about her. Meredith was like, I'm not going to fucking pretend. Like, that was actually really ballsy. When's the last time she showed any balls, any nerve? Like,
when she yelled at Angie and slurred, like,
that wasn't even balls. She carried out that whole storyline, like, oh, yeah. The last time, season four, the husbands. That's the last time she had any fucking balls on this show. Like,
also, I guess she was yelling at Brittany last season for recording or whatever.
They all were. That didn't take balls. It would have been ballsy if she was like, lay off of her. You all can leave. I'm with Brittany.
Yeah.
Like,
she just needs to be activated.
Cool.
She's got to have her right combination.
I'm tired of her waiting around for her to be. She's got her own stuff going on right now. She can. Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle. Yeah, let's get the ghost of Ken Todd in here to yell at Meredith. Mm-hmm. At
or Todd
ghost.
Todd. Or a Buzzy
or
Todd.
Or Todd Todd. He's like,
Todd and Drek.
That don't impress me much. That's Todd's anthem. Like, that's what he sings in his head whenever his wife is talking to him.
Okay, so you're a Real Housewife.
That don't impress me much.
Okay, so you have allegations of identity theft from 2021 and might not be going to the boat party we find out in the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
That don't impress me much. So the ladies they're filling out their preference sheets, and they also share that for the crew or the yacht, and then they share that Bronwyn actually might not come because that just broke in the press that she had allegations of identity theft in 2021.
Yeah,
emergency meeting of Todd and Bronwyn in the Situation Room of Eden House Social Club. So Bronwyn's like, so. two things going on here, two separate things being conflated. One was 20 years ago when I was at BYU, I got an eviction notice. Mm-hmm. And the other one is identity theft, grand theft auto, and fraud, which was saying that it was 1 year ago, but actually it was 10 years ago, was dismissed and sealed. And legally, I cannot talk about my involvement. I said, oh, Bronwyn, when you were so close. Bronwyn, when you're having such a good season. No, 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 no. Bronwyn, no, 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 no.
She's like, I'm sorry, girls.
Yeah. And then it gets even worse. First of all, she's going to do the old, I can't talk about it because it's a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. They go, blah, blah. We all know that's bullshit. You've been so vulnerable up till now. Just talk.
Give us a little taste. We just want a taste.
Because it's so juicy. It's like, I think she was like a receptionist at a financial firm and she was stealing from them. And I guess
I like that. Let's. I know. It's like a little Katie Ginelli type of mystery.
It's so Katie Ginelli, and I'm like tantalized. I gotta know.
I gotta have a scoop.
But it's just so lame that what Todd talks her into later this scene. Todd is basically, I mean, he basically like mafia, you know, like threatens her. He Todd fathers her. He's like, this affects all of us. If this affects all of us personally and professionally, which he means it affects me. And then Bronwyn's like, yeah, I saw your text that I maybe shouldn't go on this trip. And Todd's like, he repeats everything she says, the whole sentence. It's so condescending. It's unclear to me why you would go on this trip with Lisa when she's lied about you and me and Gwen. I wouldn't piss on Lisa if her brain was on fire.
What? A sentence.
It's like, what? Why would her brain be on fire?
Inflammation.
Why is it her brain specifically that's on fire? She has brain on fire disease. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't piss on her if she had brain on fire
brain disease. Brain on fire disease. Something, something encephalitis.
Bronwyn's like, there's a heavy possibility she started these rumors or perpetuated them.
Yeah.
And then Todd really lays the smack down. He puts on his gold knuckles and his Mitzi lipstick, and he puffs on his Mitzi wig and smears his blue eyeshadow, his garage door eyeshadow. He says, don't get down in the gutter with her and muck around with slime. If you decide to go, don't go home and complain about it. You're a big girl. It's on you. I would be too scared to go after that, to be fair.
Oh.
I would be like, I know. She doesn't go. Okay. She's scared.
You want to have sex? And do you want to have sex in her marital bed now? Fuck dirty.
Yeah, it is. It is very like, I kind of see what she sees in him now, other than the whole Freudian he's her mom deal. But like,
honestly, like him having gout, like sucking a gout dick would be the least of their problems.
Yeah, he's daddy. Daddy Todd.
Daddy Todd.
Dom Daddy Todd.
He is the Todd father.
He's the top for sure. Mm. Top Todd. He's a cunty mother. But I hate that she is doing the thing that we all ragged on Lisa for and bailing so that she doesn't have to talk about her shit. It's so lame. It's like, I love her, but she has these cop-outs like this where, you know, it's like she just goes so hard. She can't
maintain. She's having the greatest season and then it's going to be the sophomore slump.
It's a lot to come back from her skipping this, you know, and her refusing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Can she do it?
I don't know.
We might need to get Muzzy in there for
Muzzy.
A couple of scenes.
Yeah, we need Muzzy to take her down a few notches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to. Muzzy needs to go on the
we
yacht
need
trip
Muzzy
and then all forget.
In the same scene. See if we can.
Oh, it will never happen. Will never happen.
Listen, if Lindsay Lohan can play twins, we can have it happen.
That Bravo producers will have to do the split screen for that to occur.
It's very easy.
But no, send Muzzy. If they send Muzzy or Todd on the yacht trip, Bronwyn, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
And now we said it. All right. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. I'll be gone. I'll be in Vegas getting married, but Michelle will have a very special guest and we'll be recapping episode 7. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bravo Breakdown.